It's wonderful to know that we have a praying church, because when you experience the results of people's prayer, it is a wondrous joy. So before I start, I would like to say thank you, faithful ones, for praying. Continue, please. In these days, we are experiencing some horrendous things. We are seeing people frightened, confused, upset, and wondering what's going to be next. We're unsure who to trust. And society is in shock, basically. What shall we do? Well, when I was thinking before going to preparation on this psalm, I was wondering, having just seen these pictures on television of riots and all the rest of it, Lord, what can we do? Well, there are two things we can do, and one is pray earnestly for our nation. So that was a thought and a theme. Shall I talk about prayer? And then I thought, Lord, why do I need to get too excited about all this? Because you are in charge. You know what is happening. So what should I do? And I said to Anne just very briefly, I know we need to praise the Lord. Praise his holy name. And as we praise his holy name, we will get that peace that we have talked about so much today already. Am I coming through all right? Praising God is the great theme of this psalm. And so often, modern teaching is very man-centered, isn't it? It tells us to ask God for what he can give us and bring all our problems to him and he'll sort them out. Rather than coming to him in praise. Hebrews 13, verses 15 and 16 says, through him, that's Jesus, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of lips that acknowledge him. Then goes on to say, do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. Psalm 147 says, praise the Lord, for it is good to say praises to our God. Why? For it is pleasant, and a song is praise is fitting, and a song of praise is fitting. This psalm begins by encouraging us to praise him. It also encourages those of us who serve in the church in any capacity to praise him. It's very easy to undertake things for the church and for anything else, I suppose, and give the Lord a passing nod as we get on with it. But Paul tells us in Colossians chapter 3, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not men. In other words, put God first in everything. And our passage gives us many reasons for praising God. Firstly, we are to praise him for his goodness. The first hymn we had, 366, I'll just read a part of it. Jesus is King, and I will exalt him and give him the glory and honour his name. And the last verse says, O Holy One, our hearts do adore you, thrilled with your goodness, we give you our praise. It must be, many of you, a wonderful feeling of joy as we extol his name, as we speak with people in the high street, or as we speak with people on the bus, and talk of Jesus, or talk of the goodness of God, what a joy wells up and gives us confidence. At times we are shy and we draw back. But if we take the opportunity to speak of all the things that matter, after all, he rewards that with joy in our hearts. As we praise him, he finds that pleasant. He is good in a very special way to his own people. His own people being those that love him, profess Christianity. He is sovereign, and he is great. And our second point here is that we are to praise him for his greatness. He is sovereign in all he does. He is above all gods. And that means that whatever the Lord pleases, he does. No power or thing can stop him. He is in total control. If people worship other gods, and there are plenty of other gods about, they're wasting their time. It is only God who can actually do as he pleases. He does as he pleases in this world and the universe. And isn't that a wonderful blessing to know that our loving Saviour is in charge? We sometimes get so weighed down by what is happening around. Remember God. He is there and he knows what's going on. The Saviour is in charge. Verse 5, I know that the Lord is great, that our Lord is greater than all gods. The Lord does whatever pleases him, in the heavens and on the earth, in the seas and all their depths. Our Saviour is in charge. Alleluia for that. The third point I've looked at is, as we look back on our lives, we see the freedom that the Lord has brought us. Freedom from sin and death. The Old Testament saints saw it as they looked back and saw how the Lord had parted the waters, brought them out of Egypt, and all the backgrounds of his faithfulness to the Israel nation. He delivered his people out of slavery. And Galatians 5, chapter 5, verse 1 tells us it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. And Paul goes on to say, don't let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. That's sin. So the Old Testament warriors looked to what had happened to them, how God had dealt with them, and we look out and back to Christ to thank him, to praise him for what he has done. And in our worship service this morning, we were able to rejoice and remember what Christ had done for his people. The fourth point, God gave his people victory over their enemies as they entered the promised land. As well as being free, we can conquer every sin and enemy. In our own strength, no. But in his, certainly we can. The psalmist goes on to remind us that there is a perseverance in God that endures forever. Praise the Lord for that. His perseverance is true and safe. Verse 13 and 14 say, your name, O Lord, endures forever. Your renown, O Lord, through all generations. For the Lord will vindicate his people and have compassion on his servants. We have a faithful and enduring and persevering God who knows everything about us before we mutter it or talk it or think it. God knows. And we worship and praise that God. And he is there for us. What a joy and a trust that God has given to us. Governments, fashions, religions and traditions come and go. But our God is here forever. We can have every confidence in trusting him and praising him. No one else will be there for us, come what may. More than that, the Lord will stand by us if we have put our trust in him. Sad to say, friends and families can let us down. But we can always be sure that his backing and support for us never, ever wavers. Whatever our circumstance, God is faithful and true. He loves us and is overflowing with compassion for us. That is a wonderful foundation to be. Now, in contrast to God, we are given a classic description of the worthlessness of idols. Idol gods. What's he talking about? Well, money and other things which take over our lives. Verses 15 and 18 say, the idols of the nations are silver and gold, made by the hands of men. They have mouths but cannot speak, eyes but they cannot see. They have ears but cannot hear, nor is there breath in their mouths. Those who make them will be like them. And so will all who trust in him. in them. That's a sad reality in many cases, isn't it, today? People have spent their wealth and their craftsmanship creating idols. That's very sad. And those who worship such gods will ultimately be like them, losing their faculties and be destroyed. That's a desperate warning. It's very solemn, isn't it? They remind us of what people worship in our technological, sophisticated society today. There's a wealth and a superabundance of sound bites. Yet they cannot see the glory of the gospel. That's sad. They may hear God's call, although they probably won't admit it, but they have never found real life in Jesus. And we must keep on praying for each other and for those whom we know and don't know necessarily, who are in such need. We need to pray for them. And we can trust the Lord will hear our prayers. He is a faithful and honouring God. We may not see the answers today, but the Lord will see it done. This psalm ends as it began, in calling us to praise the Lord. We are often very good at taking our woes to him, as I said at the beginning. That's okay. He wants to hear that. But let us set more time aside to concentrate on praising and thanking him for who he is. And as we start doing that, we run out of time, run out of words even, because we can't possibly say sufficient in praise and praise and praise. His love is too vast. We can't understand it. But it's there, and it is proven. It's amazing. It's a very invigorating exercise, praising and trying to keep our vision focused on who are we praising. We are praising the Almighty God, the only true God. And he is our Saviour. He's our friend. Wow, it is a wow factor. The psalmist called upon people in his day to praise God in the context of the temple. The psalmist is here calling us today in our churches, in our fellowships, in our gatherings, in our prayer groups, in our houses. Praise the Lord together. He's asking us to do that. And this is a duty we should not ever forget or neglect. But the wonderful privilege we have in able to praise God, the Saviour, Jesus Christ, and share it with our friends and our neighbours, and even, dare I say it, those people that we don't really think very much of, but need to know the name of Jesus more than most. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord forever and ever. Amen.